On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, intern Sam joins us. And what do we discuss, Sam?
Well, we talk about the world's oldest bottle of wine while avoiding talking about how old we are.
Yeah, it's a pretty good episode because Sam's the best. So you definitely want to listen up. But first, we're going to do a shameless plug for the We Don't Know Either book. Make sure you get it. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, you name it. It's awesome. It has a ton of interesting trivia facts, much like the show you're about to listen to.
Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show, everybody. Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 330 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Sam.
Hey, Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Yeah. So tell the listeners, why in the world did you decide to intern with us? Because I know I'm wondering why, because you're very awesome and we don't deserve you.
Oh, thanks. Okay, well, I am just finishing up my master's program at Mason, and I needed an internship in order to complete that process.
Oh, so she had no choice is what I'm hearing.
That's exactly what
and,
it is.
Oh, yeah. But wait, there's more. I had thought it would be really cool to intern with a brewery in the area that I am a local to, which I will not say or try and give away the brewery. And it just didn't really pan out. And Jared walked into my office one day. I work in the office in which he just got his master's from.
Okay. That's our COO.
Yes. And we were just kind of talking about end of programs and what needed to be done, and I told him my dilemma, and he goes, "Do you know what I do?" And I assumed, "Oh, you know, something like geography related." And he was like, "No, I'm actually the COO of District Trivia." Huh. So if you need an internship, let me know if that other place falls through. And not 24 hours later, the other place fell through.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
So it's even less of a choice that she had than you originally thought.
Yeah. You know, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling confident. But I'm still happy you're here, even though you didn't know that this was even an option.
Right.
So I think that's how everybody falls into this.
I think nobody sets out to work for this company. It's just they end up working for it and then they question their life choices.
And most people don't. Well, a lot of people go out to play trivia, but a lot of them are like, just happen to be there and now I'm going to play. And that's how it all works.
Yeah.
In general.
Yep.
Cool. Okay. So, Michael, I would like you to kick us off because you've been quiet for the first minute here.
I have. Well, I wanted to give Sam her time. So.
Yeah, she did. All Sam did with her time was say that we are her second choice. That's what I heard.
It ended up being a good second choice. This is a good time.
We'll see at the end of the episode.
Glad to hear.
Go ahead, Michael.
So, I believe everybody here is a fan of Game of Thrones.
Sure.
I actually have not seen any of the show, and I just at the last airing, the last episode, picked up the first book. I'm almost done.
Okay. That's not bad.
Do you know what happens?
Yeah. I know what happens in the show, and I know that what happens in the show is not necessarily what went down in the books and how the books are going to end.
Right.
That is about what everybody knows.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Cool.
Well, luckily, my stuff, none of it is near spoiler related, so good news there for anybody that's maybe not be catched up.
Sure.
Or caught up, I think is the word.
Caught up being a legitimate English word. Yes.
So, I'm looking back at season four. Season four, episode three. There is a scene in which the other army is requesting a champion for a duel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As happens.
While they're discussing who's going to be the champion, who's going to fight this other person, the other army is shouting insults.
Okay.
Towards the other thing in Valyrian.
Okay.
Now that's being translated, but it's not being translated exactly right. It turns out it was the show's linguist, David Peterson, created an in-joke, so it's a translation of an event from a different movie.
Okay.
So my question is, what movie was it referencing?
Yeah. I would really like to hear this in Valyrian.
I will see if I can find the YouTube clip, and we'll drop it into the
link. I'd prefer you to try to pronounce it, please.
I'm not getting close.
That would really help me get the fact. But I know the answer, so I'm going to respectfully bow out.
Oh,
so
no.
Sam.
That
so,
only leaves us two of us.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Oh, no. I don't want to go up against Nick.
This is a communal podcast, and we're all in it together.
Tell me one more time.
Everyone Nick gets correct, I also get correct.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That's a good way of looking at it if you're not me.
Okay, tell me what the question is again.
So it's the champion for Marine.
Okay.
In order, I believe, to get access to the city is how they're determining whether.
Okay.
Context of the scene would be helpful.
Yes. Yeah. So the army's marching toward Marine, and in order to, I think it was, get access to the city of Marine, Marine presents a champion. And they, yes. So they need to find somebody to fight the champion.
Got it.
So while they're discussing that, the champion is yelling insults.
Okay.
And it turns out it's a translation from a different
idea.
Movie. It's actually pretty funny.
So what movies do you know that have insults in them?
Many.
Oh, that's not the way I would have gone.
What?
Oh, that's a better way to go. I'm trying to come up with my answer and
there,
what you
like
said.
Every movie ever.
I honestly assumed you knew this.
Oh, No.
I would have assumed Nick knew this as well.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't. I'm having a hard time remembering the reference to the scene, to the season. I mean, obviously, they're outside of Marine, which means they're in Essos, which means it's Danny's army trying to get into the city or Slaver's Bay or something along those lines.
Right.
So
that's a lot of information.
Yeah, I can put the context together based on the contextual clues you've given, but my initial thought would have been something more medievally fantasy-y, which would have been like Lord of the Rings or something like that.
Okay.
But if Lindsay's telling me to go the insult route, then it has to be something to do with his father smelling of elderberries.
yes, as a matter of fact. Do you understand the reference, Sam?
Not at all.
No? Okay. His mother was a hamster.
Yes.
Whose mother?
The whoever they're insulting. It's a, okay, so as the senior member of the staff and definitely of this room, Sam, I have no idea how old you are.
Legally, you can't ask. So.
I won't, right. But I'm going to assume that given some really poor life choices early on, you could technically be my daughter. I'm old.
No, I look a lot younger than I am.
Okay. But
unless you look a lot younger than you are.
That's definitely absolutely 100% not the case.
Let's cut to the chase here. Have you seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Oh, I have.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's
Scene where they're at the castle and it's the French guy insulting him from the top of the deck.
Yeah.
Right.
It is that scene that is being translated
really
into Valyrian,
which is a fake language.
Fake language to begin with.
Right.
But well, isn't it an official language now?
I don't know if it's official. It's definitely a real language. They had a linguist create the language.
Who's deciding what language is official or not? Is there like a committee?
And how do we
like,
get them on the podcast?
Yeah, like is it, you know, hey, this is a planet. Okay, this is a dwarf planet. Okay, they got their own thing going on, right? You know, same thing. This is a country. This is not a country. We get it.
Right.
But language, how is it decided if it's a language or not, or just a dialect or just some words?
I think we're probably going to have to do some research on that.
That'll absolutely take some research.
Yeah, I was hopeful one of you guys would just know. But cool. So, Michael, what is the answer that you're looking for?
So, I will be looking for the movie title. So, it will be Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail.
Excellent.
But it's, yeah, I was reading an article and I was like, that is hilarious. I'm a big fan of these kind of in-jokes and these kind of little Easter eggs in movies and stuff like that.
And it just got released now? It was season 4. I mean, that was years ago.
Season 4 was years ago. Yeah, it was just something that I had missed while going through and I was just... I was doing research for the podcast, and it struck me as an interesting thing.
Cool. Well done, Michael. Who's got the segue from insult?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Definitely not.
Okay. I will go. I'll take a gander. So some people think that this is the most beautiful portrayal of a female. It's one of the most famous art pieces ever.
Don't put me on the spot like that.
Madonna of the Rocks? I mean,
it's a painting.
The Mona Lisa.
Oh, the Mona Lisa, okay.
Yeah, the Mona Lisa. Some people are insulted that she's the epitome of female beauty. But, you know, I'll leave it to you guys to have that argument. But that's not what I want to talk about today.
Sure.
So, Mona Lisa was famous for a while. It was painted in 1503. Leonardo da Vinci, obviously, went to Florence, painted this lady, Lisa. She's cool, I'm sure. I don't know. Anyway, but it's still the painting got to be famous in the mid-16th century, and it got stolen in 1911, which I didn't know, and actually went missing for 2 years.
Oh, I think I knew that.
Yeah, well, it happened.
Do we know where it went, though?
Yeah, it hung out at this guy's house. His name was,
he was a janitor.
Vincenzo Percuglia.
Yeah, he was a janitor at the Louvre.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He was a janitor. He actually helped build, so they were more worried at the time, you know, turn of the 20th century for vandalism, because people would come in and like throw acid at paintings or paint and whatever, right? Instead versus theft. So they would cover them up with glass containers, and he actually built the one that was housing the Mona Lisa at the time. So if you're going to rob something, you might as well be the guy.
Build the security system.
Yeah. So there's a whole heist. He goes in with his smock and he hides the painting under his smock and leaves, and it just disappears for 2 years until he tried to sell it.
Right.
So he obviously got caught. The Mona Lisa was returned. It was a whole big.
This is feeling a lot like an Ocean's movie.
Yeah, right. It would be a great, great movie.
This would be the dumbest Ocean's movie if a guy just like walks in and sticks it under his shirt and walks out.
It was that's really what happened. Egg in the second one.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that's really what happened. And they called it the perfect crime for a while because nobody knew at all who had it, where it went, nothing. And then he tried to sell it back. He thought France stole it, Napoleon stole it, he wanted to return it back to Italy, whatever. It goes into the whole big thing. But my question is, what was his jail time? So he went to prison for stealing the Mona Lisa. What was his jail time? How long did he spend in jail?
In 1911.
He got caught. He got caught in 1913. And then the Mona Lisa was hanging back in 1914. So how long was his jail time?
I wonder how much it was worth in 1913.
I can look that up.
Well, yeah, the painting was worth a lot, like millions, they've said at the time. He tried to get it back for 500,000 lire, I believe, at the time. And that kind of tipped them off that. Wait a second.
Oh, you got to go for an exchange if you're going to request
and so
ransom.
He wrote this letter to the art dealer at this gallery, who was the one that eventually reported it to the authorities. And at the time, they had laws that said you got 1/10 of the value of the thing that you reported, right? So, you know, you lost a purse. I, you know, claim it, help you find it. I get 1/10 of the value of the purse. So this guy didn't get that from the French government and ended up suing them. And the courts were like, there's no price on this painting. Like, come on, you did the thing what an honest citizen should do. That's not related anyway, but you guys need to tell me the prison sentence.
I'm going to say 6 months.
Why 6 months?
I'm throwing a dart at a board while blindfolded.
Okay, this is the most famous painting in the world.
Yeah, which is why I think it's would be interesting if you only got 6 months for it.
What was it famous before it was stolen?
Yeah,
it was hanging in the Louvre, so it had to be famous. And it was a Da Vinci painting, so it had to be famous.
Yeah, it started to get pretty big around the turn of the 16th century. It was in the French monarchy for a while. They owned it. Napoleon, for a while, brought it into his bedroom and hung it on the wall. So it was well known for a very, very long time and very famous. I wouldn't say it was the most famous painting, but it was up there.
I have no idea how long jail sentences are for anything other than
murder.
Like maybe drug abuse or
I think we're getting more interesting facts about Sam than we are. So I have no idea how long prison sentences are unless it's for drug abuse or automobile violations. In which case, I can speak personally to how long those are.
Yeah. All right. So throw me a guess.
Okay. So 4 years,
months, days,
art,
lifetimes,
heist.
Yes, heist. Not a time heist, to be clear.
Art heist. Of the Mona Lisa, which is kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
from the Louvre, less.
Yeah. From the Louvre. Yeah. And it's not a super big deal. It's only 30 by 21 inches. Very tiny.
Yeah.
But
I'm gonna go. All right, Michael, you said 6 months?
I said 6 months, but I am probably ridiculously low.
I feel like I'm not going to get there, but I'm going to guess 2.5 years.
2.5 years?
Okay, so here's my logic.
Oh,
I'm going to apply game theory here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so because it's an interesting fact on this podcast, it's not going to be a reasonable period of time.
That I can confirm.
Okay.
Sure. I guess it depends how valuable you find art.
Yeah, it's either going to be an incredibly short period of time, like Michael guessed.
5 days.
Or an incredibly long period of time. And because you said the heist was in 1911 and he was arrested in 1913, I'm going to say you came across an article that was celebrating like the 100th anniversary of the whatever. And in that article, it said something along the lines of, if he were still alive today, he'd still be in prison or something like that. So I'm going to say 100 years.
100 years. Yeah. All right. Michael, you are the closest.
Yes.
So he ended up serving 8 months in jail, but they reduced his sentence to 7 months. So they let him be free. Everybody
on good behavior.
Yeah, I guess like people in Italy were like, for not oh, having he was stolen trying else. To be patriotic, even though it really the painting wasn't in Italy for very long. Like it was in.
Oh, he
like,
was trying to repatriate it.
He thought that Napoleon stole it.
Got it.
Even though Da Vinci brought it to France himself at the request of the king at the time. So the guy was just kind of wrong, but kind of trying to be patriotic and bring this art back to Italy. And that was his whole big plan. The courts called him intellectually deficient, which I thought was a great band name. And I'd like to call dibs.
I'm going to start using that around the office.
I'm guessing he did not get a job back at the Louvre.
Yeah, probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah, he did not. I don't know if he stayed on working, but I don't know. And the guy lost his, the art dealer lost his lawsuit. He did not get 10% of the value for helping to recover it.
Did he get anything, or is it just like the amount he got wasn't big
He
enough?
Got a reward. Okay. But I don't know what, he got like the standard reward, but then he wanted more.
I also think that should be our secret phrase. Intellectually deficient.
Intellectually deficient. Also, I should add that to my Twitter bio. Intellectually deficient.
Intellectually deficient.
What's our
intellectually
secret phrase?
Deficient.
And what's our secret phrase, Nick?
Intellectually deficient. And it's a phrase that I'm going to start incorporating around the office here. Like, Michael, it's not that that's a bad idea. It's just intellectually deficient.
I'm pro this. I support it. I support it wholeheartedly.
Because he used me as an example is why you support it.
Yeah. All right. I went down a very long hole with that. So who's got a segue next?
Okay, so, no, Michael.
already gone.
Sam?
Way to be on the podcast, Eric. Yeah.
Thanks for participating.
I wonder if I should maybe use a different fact?
There is no...
Whatever transition you can
right,
make happen.
Yeah.
The only thing that you have to do right now is say a fact, so
yeah,
you don't
I'm
have
gonna,
to tell us
right.
if you're mixing it up or...
Hold on, I'm going to...
I know, I'm stalling for
no,
you,
because no
we can't be silent, because it's an audio podcast.
All right, so speaking of going down rabbit holes, I went down a rabbit hole to get to this fact. One of the things that I love is wine.
Mm-hmm.
I like drinking it. Mm-hmm. I like learning about it. So I went down about a 3-hour rabbit hole trying to find a fun wine fact. And I ended up with, what year is the world's oldest known bottle of wine from?
Ooh.
Is this a currently unopened bottle?
It is currently unopened.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I can give you some fun facts about it.
Wow.
Okay, so this bottle of wine is currently in Germany at a museum called the Historical Museum of the Palatinate.
Hmm, okay.
It was found in 1867, so you know it's older than that.
Okay.
I would have probably assumed.
Buried with a Roman nobleman.
Okay.
Who people are, I guess historians believed to be a high-ranking legionnaire.
That narrows it down significantly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can help you a little bit more. So
no, let us guess, unless you guys want to.
All right, take a first stab, and if you're nowhere near, I can.
Well, I was going to keep letting her talk, see if I can narrow it down a little bit more. All right, Roman
legionnaires, Michael.
Yes.
Now come up with a time frame.
The Romans were around for a while.
So yeah,
just a little bit.
It's pretty solid range.
They weren't around for a day.
Oh God.
I will say I've listened to quite a few podcasts, and my favorite are Lindsay's puns.
Really? That's your favorite part?
I do. It's one of my favorites. I do. No. I enjoy it.
I feel Pirates as though forever. That statement is intellectually deficient.
Oh man.
Okay, I'm going to say
so quickly.
2,000 years. I'm going to go with my gut.
Okay. No,
so what year would that be? That would be that
a
would
long
be,
time ago.
Year 19.
Year 19.
Yep.
Okay. 0019.
I think that's the wine has been around for a very, very long time.
So the wine predates the crucifixion of Jesus.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
33 AD.
Oh.
Yeah.
I always thought that was zero.
No.
The earth is also
I'm already going to hell.
Okay. So I'm sticking with 2000.
Okay.
Go ahead, boys. You got to talk.
I was thinking like 900s.
Okay. Why 900s?
Another dart at the board, and that seemed to work well for me last time.
Okay.
So I'm going to say.
You're one for one on the podcast,
I'm one,
so you're going for it again.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to say 934 AD.
Okay. 934 AD. Okay. So I know that the Rothschilds were big wine collectors in Germany in the, what was that, the 14th or 15th or 16th century? I could be way off base there. So I think that it's got to be really old. And
hang on. I didn't track your logic really on that.
I think it needs to be older than that.
Older than 2,000 years?
Yeah. Funny enough, I've watched episodes of White Collar. You ever see White Collar?
No.
And I have.
There's a whole episode around counterfeiting a bottle of wine and what would go into making it appear old.
The Benjamin Franklin bottle.
Yes. So, and there's a lot of notes in that about like the oldest bottle and values and things along those lines. I don't know if they're accurate or not, but they're the basis for my guess.
Okay.
So I'm going to say it was later than Lindsay, but earlier than Michael. I'm going to say it was in like the 200s. So like 275 or 280 or 285.
She asked how old it was.
So that would be, let's go
I
ahead
take
and try to do the
year
math.
Or the amount of years.
Okay. I'm going to say it is 1700 years old. So that would be
less than what I said.
So yes. Not as old as what Lindsay said. You said 2,000 years. I'm saying 1,700 years. So that would put my guess at 319.
Cool.
If I'm doing the math correctly.
Good.
I give up. First podcast and defeated.
No, it's cool.
So it's fine.
What is it?
It's 1650, the years. It's 1,650 years old.
Okay.
Yes. And it is marked as the year 325 A.D.
Wow. Well done, Nick. Okay. Well done.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, no, this is what happens. You just get used to it. But like I said, we're all winners here. So I know I feel good about that. I don't know if, Michael, you feel good? I feel great.
I feel pretty good.
I feel excellent.
Between the three of us at the table, we got really close.
Mm-hmm.
Very close.
So, all right, my interesting fact, speaking of Germany.
Mm-hmm. It exists.
Recently, extremely recently, an auction house put up a Nazi Enigma machine. Are you aware of what an Enigma machine is, Michael, Sam?
No,
go ahead, tell
us. So.
Okay, an Enigma machine is the machine that was used by the Axis powers to encrypt their messages to one another.
And to also decode, correct?
Yes, encode, decode. So basically, if you had one of these machines, you could read all of the correspondence, and it was a huge coup of the of World War II when the Allies got their hands on one of them, and basically they were trying to hide the fact that they had it for as long as they could because they could read all of the messages that were coming from the other side. So recently, it went up for auction. What is the current asking price?
Of an Enigma machine.
Is it the only one that the U.S. grabbed, or is there?
It is by far the most complete. It is not the one that the U.S. had in its possession. It is one that has been found since then.
Got it.
And funny enough, it was found at like a yard sale where somebody had categorized it as a typewriter.
Oh, that's
just like an old typewriter.
Oh, that is my dream.
To go to a yard sale.
Yeah. Well, I got down the Mona Lisa path because I was looking for weird places that people found artwork. And a woman found, like, walking down the street garbage, was like, that painting looks like it's not just a Joe Schmo painting. And it ended up being a famous artist from Mexico, and it went missing years earlier. And she just found it in the garbage in New York City.
Let's be honest. You just want to be on the Antiques Roadshow.
I do. It's my dream. Oh, my gosh. When they flipped around that like kid finger painting, and it was a menu from the night Titanic sank. Oh, I lost my mind. that is a dream for sure.
That's my nightmare, because I guarantee I'm going to be that one that was like, oh, this was a famous painting and you sold it for $10.
I have actually had that happen to me.
Have you really?
Yes, I have. My wife's grandmother died, and when they were
wait, is this the chair story?
Yeah,
we haven't
done it on the podcast.
Yes, we have.
Not on the podcast.
100%.
It was actually 2 weeks ago in one of our weekly meetings, but not on the podcast. But that's fine. I don't have to tell it.
It was a very expensive chair, and they should have sold it for more. Punchline. We're getting get back to your fact.
I'm waiting on you guys. How much was the Enigma machine put up for auction?
Okay, so
I do not believe it has sold yet, but this is the asking price.
When do we know when this?
It's currently for sale.
Currently, right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
On eBay?
Not on eBay.
Okay.
I'm assuming at an actual auction house?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. So this is a World War II artifact.
Correct. Michael?
Let's say $600,000.
$600,000. Okay.
$600,000. I feel like that's low.
I feel like these machines, there's multiple copies. And I'm interested to know, like, who's bidding on this? Like, do you want this at your house, or are the museums bidding on it against each other? I think it's going to be lower, and I'm going to say $250.
Okay.
$250. No, I'm kidding. $250,000. I think a quarter mil. A cool quarter mil, to be clear. Not just a regular quarter mil. A cool quarter mil. I think that's what the youths are saying now.
Yes.
The youths.
I can speak specifically to that.
Also, why aren't emojis called enigmas? I think that'd be really a better name for emojis.
Really? Why?
Oh, I like emojis.
And just because I think enigma is a cool word and we should use it more.
Enigma is like a mystery or a puzzle.
Yeah. And it's a mystery or a puzzle you're not using words instead of pictures.
As to, as to what this person is saying when they send you eggplant emoji high five.
You're right. It is the opposite of an enigma. You're right. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I feel like this is probably wrong, but I just feel like somebody is going to really want this. I'm going to go, you said 600,000, Michael. I'm going to go 600,001.
That is a good strategy. It's extremely good strategy.
What is it?
Unfortunately, according to Price is Right rules, everybody is high.
Oh, okay.
Lindsay, they are only asking $200,000 for the Enigma machine.
Only
you can have it right now.
Only $200,000?
Yeah. You could have it right now, Lindsay.
The price.
Wow, that seems so low.
Yeah, recently.
Well, then again, I only was 50,000 more than that, but still.
So a previous auction sold this unit for $51,500 in 2017.
Oh, okay. So
it's gone up significantly in value considering only 2 years have passed.
Yeah, who is buying it?
Who bought it before? They don't list the people who buy these things.
I would want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, is it in somebody's personal collection?
People that collect Nazi artifacts generally do not
display
them.
Don't want you to know.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. As I said to Michael earlier, this podcast is anti-Nazi, so we're very public about that.
It's a controversial stance to have, but we stand by it.
Oh, maybe in 2019. No, but that's neither here nor there. We're going to wrap up this episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Sam.
And we don't know either.
Bye.